This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The last part of this surah is probably the most beautiful, one of the most beautiful places in the entire Qur'an, describing the relationship between us and Allah that will happen on the day of resurrection, but actually can begin to happen even now. It can begin to happen even now. And this is one of the most intimate, beautiful places in the Qur'an. Notice where we are, and I'll explain this at the end in terms of the sequence of the surah. It's really divided into five parts, but the first part was about a human being struggling to come close to Allah by the ritual of what? You remember? The ritual of Hajj. And then the middle part was a person whose nafs has not attained tranquility. They're turbulent. They're all over the place. They're indulged in themselves. They haven't found Allah yet. And now the fifth part of the surah, 1, 3 and 5, the fifth part of the surah, once again, is actually those who have attained that tranquility. The first one was attempt to attain that tranquility in this world by the ritual of Hajj. And the last one is actually having attained that tranquility when we meet with Allah. So they've succeeded in attaining that tranquility. May Allah make us all min al-nufus al-mutma'inna. Ya ayyatuha al-nafs al-mutma'inna. Oh, literally Allah is addressing it, and addressing it in the most dignified way. Oh, honored, I would add the word honored because ayyatuha is used, not ya nafsal mutmainna. Because if the munada was there by itself, that's something else. Ayyatuha is actually an extension, and the extension is done to actually honor it even more, to call its attention even more. You know, when Allah speaks, everybody listens on Judgment Day. And the ha, they say, لِلْتَنْبِيهِ, to get the attention. But Allah goes out of His way to get the attention of this, even though He doesn't have to do that. Like He doesn't say, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمَعْشَرْ لِلْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. He says, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Gathering of human beings and jinn and human beings on Judgment Day. But here He says, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسِ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. Meaning He dignifies the nafs and especially calls it. This person, this individual. And then He says about him, Al-Mutma'inna. Let me explain what they say. It's the tranquil soul. That's how they translate this, right? I don't like the word soul here. We'll say person for now. This tranquil person. This will be a deep conversation. I hope I can wrap it up within 20 minutes. It's a difficult one, but inshallah, if you pay attention, you'll get a lot out of it. But before we go to that, I want to explain the word mutma'inna. A very beautiful, powerful word in the Quran. غُؤُورٌ أَوْ إِنْخِفَاضُ مَا فِي شَأْنِهِ الْإِرْتِفَاعُ أَوْ الْإِسْتِوَاعُ. Something that is meant to rise or move, something that is actually supposed to be disturbed, when you go out of your way to calm it down. You know, like for example, when a child is hyperventilating, you know, and then you do something to calm the child down, then you've given tama'nina to the child. You've calmed them down. Or if water or the milk was rising and you turned the stove off and it calmed down, that was tama'nina. Something that was meant to rise, meant to erupt, and it was settled down. Allah describes the nafs as something that wants to erupt all the time. It has temptations, desires, urges, hungers, appetites that are constantly waiting to erupt. And when it came before Allah and it submitted itself to Allah, Allah gave all of those urges a calm and He settled them down and He gave him control. أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. A person who was able to remain calm and keep themselves under control, not let their temper take hold of them, or their greed take hold of them, or their lust take hold of them. This is the nafs al-mutma'inna that Allah honors and addresses at the end. How are we going to attain that nafs? Inshallah, we'll talk about that today. How do you attain that nafs that becomes at ease, that is not constantly worried about itself, that isn't so consumed? But for now, listen to this. إِرْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ. Return back to your Rabb. Come back to your Rabb. Irji'i ila rabbiki. Our journey in humanity began when Allah created us. And when we were created, Allah asked us a question. Alastu bi rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? And we said, of course you are. And then our souls were taken and put inside of our mothers. And then from there, Allah thumma sabila yassara, made the way open for us to come out of our moms. We lived this life and our nafs went through all kinds of things. And at the end of it all, Allah goes back to where it all began. Come back. Come back to your Rabb. Irji'i ila rabbiki. And you know, we've left everything else behind now. You don't get to take your home with you. You don't get to take your money with you, your clothes with you. You don't get to take anything with you. It's just you and Allah. That's it. That's all there is you and Allah. And when He calls you, if you leave things behind, you worry about the things you left behind. Right? I miss, you know, when our kids travel, they say sometimes we miss home. All right, and they come home and like, I miss this toy, or I miss this, or I miss that. We don't want to leave the things behind. We leave loved ones behind. We leave family behind. We leave homes behind. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla calls, Allah says, come to your Rabb, radiyatan, completely content. You're in a state that you're, this is the hal of the nafs, content, happy. No dissatisfaction, no disturbance whatsoever. Radiyatan, meaning you're happy that you come back to Allah and there's no greater joy that you've experienced. Surah An-Najm says this so beautifully, wallahi al-azim. It's one of the most remarkable things I've ever read about Allah, meeting with Allah. He says, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى وَأَنَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. The final end is when you go back to Allah, to your Rabb. And when you do, He's the one who makes you laugh and He's the one who makes you cry. When we meet with Allah, the joy of it will make us laugh. And at the same time, the overwhelming feeling of it will make us cry. وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَضْحَكَ وَأَبْكَى. This is the power of the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jal. Here he says, رَاضِيَةً, completely content. Then he adds, because you know, just because you're happy with Allah, doesn't mean Allah is happy with you. So he adds, مَرْضِيَّة. مَرْضِيَّة has two meanings, not one. مَرْضِيَّة means, there is contentment directed towards you, meaning Allah is happy with you. The angels are happy with you. The Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is happy with you. Ibrahim alayhi salam is happy to meet with you. Adam alayhi salam, your father, is happy to meet with you. The anbiya are meeting with you. You know, you're in the company of ibadi that's coming. So there, and you see everybody's so happy with you. You know, we love being in the company of those that are content with us. And it's very disturbing and depressing to be in the company of those who despise us, who hate us, who look down upon us, who are not happy with us, etc., etc. Allah says, مَرْضِيَّة. But first and foremost, your Rabb Himself is happy with you. You know, to give you a psychological impression of these ayat, and the emotional impression of these ayat, sometimes you vie for the acknowledgement of your father. Sometimes some people have a harsh father. No matter what they do, father's not proud. No matter, they got 100, he says, I used to get 200. Like, you know, like he can't be happy. No matter what you do. You got a job as a manager? At that age, I was a CEO. Like, you know, he's never happy with whatever you accomplish. But when that one day your father comes to you and says, I'm proud of you, son. He didn't give you money. He didn't give you a hug. He didn't give you the inheritance, nothing. He just said, I'm proud of you. And you're sitting there bawling like a baby. You're 39 years old, you're bawling like a baby because your father acknowledged you. There's some people in this life whose acknowledgement means everything. It means everything. That's a terrible example. I shouldn't be giving it, but it's in my head and I have to get it out of my system. So I used to watch a lot of Simpsons when I was younger. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And you know, Mr. Burns, his secretary, is always dying for acknowledgement. He's just dying for acknowledgement. One says, good job, Smithers. And he's like, you know, like, because he never gets acknowledgement. But I give you this silly example for a reason. You have finally Allah, who we didn't know if He's happy with us or not. We didn't know what He thinks of us. We've made lots of mistakes. We've disappointed Him plenty. And now He's calling. And as He's calling you towards Himself, you're really happy that He's calling. But you still don't know His judgment on you. You're happy with Him, but is He happy with you? In Mardiya, He tells you that He's happy with you too. And that couldn't make you any happier. The second meaning of Mardiya is actually to be made happy. It's the passive form, to be given joy. And actually both of those things work together. The fact that Allah acknowledges that He's pleased with you, there's no greater joy that you could have enjoyed. Radiyata Mardiya. Oh, and that you're heading towards Allah and you're completely radi, He says, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Come on, nafs, come on you. Enter into the company of my slaves. Come, I want to introduce you to them. These are my ibad, you know. And now you get introduced to those that Allah loves, those also who got called by Allah. And those will have the Muslims, they'll have the prophets, they're great followers, people we read about. We're going to sit there crying next to Musa alayhi salam. I recited about you. I read about you. We're going to sit next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We're going to drink from the hawd. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. Enter into the company of my slaves. Be in the midst of my slaves. And look, this is the highest place you can be in Jannah. And look at the term used. Ibad. Abd is the lowest term found for any title a human being can hold. Human beings, you can have any job or any role. No role or no job you will ever have is lower than what? Slave. Slave is the lowest it goes. Nothing goes lower than slave. Okay? And yet, what Allah Azza wa Jalla does is when you are slaves of Allah, this lowest term in the world, there is no higher title. There's no higher title than slave of Allah. فَدْخُلِي فِي Just become my slave. Give up your pride, give up your ego, give up your greed. Give all of it up. Just become my slave. Humble yourself completely and submit yourself completely and see what ranks Allah raises you to. This is why you'll notice in the Qur'an, every time Allah mentions the elevation of the Prophet ﷺ, like when he met with him and when he elevated him, every time he never uses the word Rasul, he always uses the word Abd. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi, fa'awha ila abdihi ma'awha. The highest place you can reach is, the highest maqam a human being can reach is Abd. Even for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, we are proud to be. People sometimes tell me, you know, slave is not a good term, you should use servant instead. No, I like slave. It's more humiliating. It has less dignity in it. And we want to bring no dignity before Allah. We want to bring complete and absolute humiliation before Allah. I'm very happy with the term. It is problematic of a term only because we think of it as slavery to other human beings. To Allah, there's no greater honor. And the other reason I don't like service or servant is because service is associated with time and place and job description. If you're serving your company and you're an accountant, you're not expected to mop the floor. That's not part of the service you provide. And service is certain hours. At certain hours you're a servant, other times you're off. When is a slave a slave? Always. And what is a slave's job description? Anything the master says. That's us and Allah. We're not servants. The servants is less. We're slaves. And we're honored to be slaves. He says, فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي Then he says, وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي Look at the sequence. I want you to appreciate the sequence that's happened here. The first thing he said was, you are pleased with who? Allah. Come towards Allah Himself. The first introduction is to Allah Himself. That's the greatest gift in the Akhirah. The company of Allah and the meeting with Allah and knowing Allah is happy with you and you're happy with Allah. That's the greatest gift. The second greatest gift is you get to meet the others who have been preceded you and others who've also been made happy by Allah Azza wa Jal. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي And then the third item is وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي Enter my Jannah. The garden, the palace, the rivers, the spouses, the trees, the drinks, the meat, you know, all of that stuff, third item. The first item was Allah, then His slaves, and then, and only then, do these things mean anything. This is Allah's way of teaching us something. You can have the greatest wealth in the world. You can have rivers and gardens, you can have artificial waterfalls in your backyard, you can have palaces, you can have, you know, a beautiful spouse or great car, or you can have all the luxuries that Quran talks about in Jannah, you can get some version of it here. You can get it. But if Allah's company isn't there, and the company of the righteous isn't there, none of that means anything. That's not Jannah. That is not Jannah. فَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي Then وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي And enter my Jannah.